Welcome to Circuit Break from MacroFab, a weekly show about all things engineering, DIY projects, manufacturing, industry news, and Batman's utility belts. We're your hosts, electrical engineers Parker Dillman
and Stephen Craig.
If you want to discuss this podcast, follow along with the show notes and articles that we're going to discuss, head on over to forum.macrofab.com. Circuit Break from MacroFab.
This week, we're exploring one of the most curious pieces of equipment in pop culture history, Batman's utility belt.
Yeah. So we usually do like Star Wars episodes and we never really do anything else. And this is like a superhero one. But Batman is, I guess there's like two superheroes that are like engineering-ish. There's Batman and then there's Tony Stark, Iron Man.
I'm going to add one more. I think, although I don't even know if they count as a superhero, but Beast from X-Men. He was always like their tech dude.
Well, then if you're going to do tech dude,
there's probably a ton more.
Then you could throw in like, who's the tech person from Ninja Turtles?
Wasn't that Donatello?
Was it Donatello? I think using tech as part of their powers. Like technically, Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne don't have any powers besides just having shitloads of money. And being smart.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most compelling things about Batman, actually, is the fact that he just gets by being crafty and smart. In fact, the original Batman was all like Detective Comics, DC, was all about Batman being a detective. He was less of a, like this superhero villain of the night or whatever.
Yeah, that's thing. True.
He was just like a really damn good detective.
Yeah, and that's actually, if you look at like Adam West Batman too, like Adam West Batman just looks literally like a normal dude in spandex.
Yeah, yes.
And then modern Batman is like hulked out.
Yeah.
So, okay, utility belts. So we got a little history about utility belts. Apparently, the utility belt was not even introduced in the first set of comics. It was the first series, but it was like issue 29, even way back in July 1939, right before what was that, like the breakout of World War II?
World War II started in 38, if I remember right.
It's definitely before America entered the war.
Yeah, America was 42, I believe.
Yeah. It was a 38?
So that general time frame.
Yeah. And it contained gas capsules, which is kind of interesting if World War is breaking out and the previous World War was all like mustard gas and stuff like that.
Hmm.
So it's kind of interesting that it contained gas capsules in my mind.
Was that in the original? Well, I'm not sure we have it here, but in the original one, was it just a belt of gas capsules?
Well, that was how it was originally in it. And then two episodes later, it had the Batarang in it.
Mm.
And then over time, they added more and more stuff to it. They changed to kind of like the design of it. Tim Burton was like the first time they had grappling guns and stuff in it.
Which is like a staple of Batman now.
Yeah, staple of Batman nowadays. But Tim Burton was the first Batmans to have that in it. I think it was like attached to the belt too, right?
Yeah, because he actually like... It like winds up on the belt.
Was it his belt buckle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his belt buckle. I think that fires up, which is kind of like the worst ergonomics ever.
Yeah. I bet you it was incredibly uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Okay. So hang on. If you think about it, Batman sort of has three superpowers in a way, or the way that they've written Batman ends up becoming three superpowers. The first one is he's really smart. In fact, I think Batman has five different degrees, engineering being one of them, but computer science is another, and I don't remember the others, but I believe he has five different degrees. His second superpower is just money. He has so much money that it's just not an issue for him. If he needs something or he needs something created or he needs to grease something or blah, 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 he just has that capability. And the last superpower is his utility belt.
Yeah.
The utility belt just contains all the superpowers.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I think like modern Batman has stuff in his suit too that makes him stronger, kind of like Tony Stark's Iron Man suit makes him stronger. But definitely older Batman didn't have that.
Right.
And so, but anyways, we're talking about the utility belt. So what's in the belt? What is in this yellow belt? So it's interesting that I was doing some research about this and I was actually asked Jacob, who's actually into superheroes at work. He's in IT. I don't think being in IT means you like superheroes, but I'm just saying that's his job.
It just happens to be
correlate. And apparently in a comic, I can't remember what year it was, but it's a more modern comic. Some owl people, he had some name for this evil group of like henchmen, but they're owl people basically. But they break into Batman's cave and they like go through his utility belt and like categorize what's in there. And they get to like item like 44 and they're like, we're only 30% the way through this thing.
Oh my God.
So there's over 120 items in the utility belt. And I think figuring out how you would pack all that stuff together is like, that could be its own episode of trying to figure out how to like manage 120 items and know exactly where everything is at in your utility belt.
And be able to just recall them immediately in the stress of whatever he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. So I picked some items that I want to talk about that's in his utility belt, but we're not going to do like items that have identical real life examples, like grappling hooks, smoke pellets, grenades. He has like 20 different kinds of grenades in his utility belt. Grenades exist, so we're not going to talk about them. So the first one is probably one of the most famous ones, the Batarang. And so the Batarang is a boomerang shaped like a bat, but it's not like a bat. It's like his symbol bat, right? But it always comes back to him or like gets stuck in things. Like he can kind of like determine what happens to it.
He chooses
what happens to it.
Yeah.
I think the Batarang is like a drone. So it has like, have you seen those like ads of like the ball that you throw and it comes back to you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that device is actually real, but that's what the Batarang is. The Batarang is one of those, except it's really sharp and can like cut people's heads off. Like in James Bond, the dude with the hat.
Oh, Oddjob?
Yeah. Is Oddjob with the hat? Or was that in Austin Powers?
Well, no, in Austin Powers, that's Random Task.
And does Ram Task throw a shoe?
Yeah, and Oddjob throws his hat.
Throws his hat. Okay, got it. But yeah, that's what it does. It like, well, technically, Batman doesn't... No, that's Spider-Man. Spider-Man doesn't technically kill anyone.
Batman, his creed, he doesn't kill people.
That's true. Yeah, okay.
But if you watch the movies, he doesn't kill people, but he like severely maims people and leaves them in situations where they're most likely going to die.
Yeah, I think he throws people off roofs and stuff, so.
Yeah, but he'll throw them off roofs, but like capture them with a grappling hook and leave them hanging upside down, which, you know, you do that for long enough and someone will die.
Yeah. I mean, that's like Spider-Man then. Spider-Man does pretty much the same thing. Mm. So that's what I think a Batarang is. A Batarang is drone technology. It's got some way to maneuver itself. So, because I don't think Batman, while he's trained in a lot of martial arts, I don't think he can throw a boomerang perfectly, especially these things, which are like clearly not really aerodynamic like a boomerang is.
Yeah. And the way I'm sure something like this, they're symmetrical in like the X axis of a Batarang, but in the Y axis, they're not. I wouldn't expect these things to fly very well. On top of that, in the movies, like if he wants to like throw it and have one of the wings of the Batarang like stick into a wall or something like that, it always happens.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he gets to choose how that works. And I just don't think he's that good at throwing these things.
He could be though. He could just have a range underneath his Wayne Tower when he just throws these all day.
Just all day. There is a scene where it shows him grinding them by hand. So he manufactures these and sharpens them himself, basically.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. Because could you imagine going to like a manufacturer on like AliExpress and sending them a drawing of a Batarang and being like, hey, I need like a thousands of these. They're going to figure out that you're Batman.
I think they actually cover that in one of the movies, too, where they were getting his plastic ears for his head cowl. Uh-huh. And Alfred's like, we have to order like 10,000 of these so it doesn't look suspicious that there's one guy ordering like five of them. And then it shows up on the news everywhere, right?
What show is that from? What movie?
That's the first Batman, the first Christopher Nolan Batman. Dark Knight Rises? I can't remember the name.
Huh. So he orders them as like costumes.
Yes. Basically, they order them as if it was like a Halloween thing, and he owns all of them. But it's not suspicious because they ordered something like 10,000 of them.
Yeah, so he probably does that. He probably orders a million of these things, like, lasered out. And you think he would do that, but instead of grinding it himself. But maybe that's the secret. It's like the grind on the edge is like a certain shape that only he can manufacture.
Oh, and only he can get it. Yeah, yeah. I could see him, once again, just with the cash thing, just buying like some amazing CNC machine and just basically rough out the shape, and then he hand does the bevels on it so they fly just right.
But you think he would just be able to buy a machine that does that part too?
Okay, wait, hang on. That's a Tony Stark thing. Batman still has like the hand touch on it, whereas Tony Stark would be like, I don't want to waste my time with this. Design a whole machine to make me this one thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. Do you think Robin is the person that actually runs his CNC machines then?
He's just the hired help.
Just runs. Now, the Bat Tracer. Now, we do have GPS trackers in real life, but this gets more into like movie tropes, I guess, because GPS trackers in real life are like the size of a cell phone and a little bit thicker.
Mm.
That's about the size they are, mainly because battery life and that kind of stuff. But in Batman, sometimes they're round, like about the size of a quarter, a little bit thicker. Sometimes they're bat shaped.
Oh, of course.
But they always have a red LED on them that blinks.
Yep. Yep.
And I always think if you want to track someone and not let them know, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't just have a blinking red LED on it.
Yeah. I think he has one that sticks to the side of stuff, but he like shoots it out of a gun and it's got like, I don't know, it's got like some like snot glue that sticks immediately on it. Freezes and sticks it on the side. But you're right. Most of the time it's just this bat shaped thing that as soon as he puts it on there, it starts audibly beeping.
That too. And they beep. That's like in every movie that they have a GPS tracker. It always does that.
They have to notify the viewer of what it is doing.
Without saying, I'm putting a GPS tracker on this car, clunk.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing where it's like, okay, this mysterious box that has red, green, and I don't know, pick any other color wire hanging out of it, and like 5-7 segment displays on it. Oh, that's a bomb.
That's a bomb.
It's a bomb, right?
I think the Bat Tracer existed in like the Adam West era too. And if it did,
not over a cellular network.
No, not over cellular or GPS, but probably using like, you know, where they use two antennas to do a, not a Doppler effect, but very similar where you can hone in on a radio beacon.
Triangulate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, is it really triangulate? It is triangulation.
Triangulate takes three, right?
Yeah. I remember seeing a picture of a truck driving down the road that they put a huge flat metal sheet on top with, I think it was like 12 antennas sticking up. Mm. And that's what it was for. It was to drive around and look for whatever radio signal you're trying to find. I think the Bat Tracer is really cool just because it still can't get away from that movie trope of like the beeping sound and the red LED. Bruce Wayne can make it whatever he wants because he has infinite money, right? But he's sticking with that movie trope.
Go for it. Maybe it's just easier on him. And he's like, screw it, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe he just buys them off the shelf. Maybe old GPS trackers actually beep. And
what's the Apple tracker? The Apple tag or whatever? He just buys those now.
AirTags.
Yeah, he just buys those. Cheaper and easier.
Because those beep too.
Do they really?
Yeah, they have a couple different tones they beep. Like if the person who owns it hasn't checked in on it in a while, it will start, it has a certain chime. It's to prevent you from like slipping it into someone's jacket or whatever without them noticing. All right, next thing. This one came from Jacob. And it is one of the most ridiculous things. And it's a new thing too. Well, new-ish in terms of Batman, because if Batman's from 1939, this is from 2011. In 2011, there was a comic where, I don't know the circumstances, but Batman gets turned back into like 1960s Adam West Batman.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. And a villain is attacking him. A female villain is attacking him. and he says, I can't punch a woman. And so he pulls out literally bat female villain repellent. And while spraying the villain, yells bat apologies and runs away.
Oh, that's so good. That's classic. That is a fantastic throwback to the old Adam West Batman. Because that's he would have absolutely said that.
Yeah, the shark repellent from the Adam West Batman movie. I think that's what the throwback is to. But I mean,
oh, 100%.
It's so Adam West Batman always had a spray or a powder for everything. That was like his shtick, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there was one that he had like a anti-blasting blast powder where he could sprinkle it on like explosives and it would stop. It wouldn't explode anymore.
I suppose in some way, like if you had an explosive that was really, really sensitive to the pH of something and you could just neutralize it with a buffer solution, then there's some validity to that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like, though. It was a container of like talcum powder, basically. and he could, That one was a...
Just baking soda.
I think that one was actually like a spray. It looked like a spray paint can, basically.
Okay.
It says powder on the can, though.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you wouldn't think a spray paint, like what comes out of a spray paint can isn't powder. Because it's liquidous. But yeah. Bat female villain repellent. I was racking my brain over this, and I actually asked ChatGPT what it thought that was. And only thing it can come up with was some like pheromones that made somehow evil people cry or something.
Evil people.
I think it's just like Axe body spray.
Yeah, like concentrated Axe body spray.
Concentrated Axe body spray. Because it has to only work on female villains, not male villains. Because otherwise it would just say bat villain repellent, right?
Right. No, this is specifically formulated for female villain. And it's bat dash female dash.
Like, yeah, there's dashes in it.
Right. And it's written on the side of the can, of course, beneath a Batman logo.
Yes. Yes. Which we'll get into the Batman logo later in the podcast. I have that in here too.
Bat apologies.
Yeah, bat apologies. I couldn't believe that was real when Jacob sent that to me. And I was like, I went and looked it up myself. And I'm like, I can't believe if it was like the 80s or maybe the early 90s, I could totally believe that being a thing. 2011 is when that comic came out.
If you Google Batman female villain repellent, you can see the snippet from the comic. It's chef's kiss for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Axe body spray.
That's a rough one there. I would think the people who own the Batman license would probably want to take that one back.
I don't know. Maybe they enjoy it like we do.
I can't just believe that. At the time, I couldn't believe that being a thing in 2011. Anyways, next thing, the universal tool. And so what this is a remote hacking device / computer that basically, it's kind of like what's the device in Star Trek? The tricorder?
Yeah, tricorder.
It's like a tricorder. And thinking about this, I have one of these. It's called a Flipper Zero.
Huh.
It's a device that allows you to like beam and receive transmissions and modify stuff on the fly, like a hacking device. That's what a Flipper Zero is.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, Batman had this in like the 80s or something.
Yeah, okay, so I'm looking at the fandom website right now on this device, the universal tool. And let me just label off a handful of things it has on it. It has an oscilloscope / vectorscope display on it. It has broadband HD TV jack, a multi-line analyzer, whatever that is, CPU breakout box, which basically looks like an expansion port.
So it has a parallel port.
Yeah, a parallel port, but it also has an RS-232 logic controller and breakout box and an EEPROM reader-writer on it. So
it's more than a Flipper Zero then.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of everything on it.
I like how it has an EEPROM reader where I guess nowadays it would be like an NFC reader, writer.
Well, in addition to this, it's still still useful having a EEPROM reader writer. But it's surprising that the fandom has gone that far to go to, into like that level of tech that he has. Like full on like protocols.
I would say nowadays Batman probably can get away without an EEPROM writer reader.
I would not mind having one of those universal tools. That would be pretty legit. If you walked into your job and they're like, "Here's your universal tool. Thank you."
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think just having like an I guess they have portable oscilloscopes now that are basically multimeters with the oscilloscope screen on them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But his is not just an oscilloscope. It also has a vector display on it, which I don't know why he would need one of those, but it still is pretty cool.
I mean, back then you had a lot more analog signals.
Sure.
And so a vector display was pretty important for debugging. But nowadays, I think I've only seen a vector display once, and it's an arcade game. I don't think I've actually seen one.
At my last job, we had a vector display, but it was just there to make cool pictures with music.
I think it's what most people use them nowadays for.
Yeah, they're a novelty for sure.
If anyone that's listening knows what you could use a vector display to debug nowadays, let us know in our community Discord. It'd be form.macrofab.com.
I could see a really goofy like storyline where, I don't know, he has to like analog hack into like a door lock and the vector display is displaying like some strange image and he has to turn potentiometers until it becomes a circle. And when it's finally like a perfect circle, the door unlocks or something like that. That would be pretty cool. And that's like, I don't know, that's two waves that he's getting in the right orientation and phase and whatnot.
I like that idea a lot. All right, next item, the Sonic Devastator. So we actually have similar device. So Sonic Devastator's audio device that he has, but that's technically not in his utility belts and his gloves, but we're going to cheat a bit. But it beams sound waves at villains and no good doers. That's Batman.
Ne'er-do-wells?
Yeah. And it like immobilizes them with the sound waves. So we actually have devices like this nowadays on like ships and stuff. They call them like non-lethal deterrent devices.
Yeah, they use them for like riot control and things like that.
Yeah. But I started going down like what kinds we have nowadays. And this is very interesting. So we have three different kinds, actually. We have subaudible, audible, and high frequency. And they all affect different parts of your body. So clearly, like the audible kind just makes it awful for your hearing. And
yeah,
makes
it's like it painful. Yeah.
But the problem with the audible kind is you put on hearing protection and you kind of nullify it. So
sure.
They don't really use the audible kind too much anymore because it's very easy to defeat. But there's subaudible, which is like...
Is that like just jiggle your guts or what? Make you feel uncomfortable?
So they figured out there's certain frequencies that actually vibrate your eyeballs and make it impossible for you to see.
No.
Yeah.
That's,
I don't know if they've deployed that at all, but there's like a story in like it's Sonic, it's the Wikipedia article for Sonic Weapon that talks about how that was discovered. It's like 0.7 hertz and then like four, you have to combine a couple different low frequencies and like it will make your like eyeball pulse.
Oh, so I bet things just go blurry.
Yeah, everything just kind of goes woo, 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 woo.
Oh, that's frightening, actually.
Yeah. And then on the opposite side, you have high frequency, which can like destroy like your organs.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like the real dangerous one. Yeah, I mean, the audible one, if it's enough, you can cause hearing damage, whatnot. But the high frequency one, yeah, you could jiggle things loose.
Yes. Liquefy.
Put enough energy into it.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is on his belt, or on his wrist or whatever, there's probably not enough energy to cause any kind of permanent damage, which is frankly not what Batman is going for most of the time he's fighting crime.
Yeah, and in the comics, it's all audible too. Because if you can surprise your assailant, the audible would probably work fine because most people don't walk around, with ear protection on. This one is also really weird. It's the identity disc.
Okay.
So Batman and his utility belt has a little disc about the size of a quarter or half dollar that is blank. But if he pours a specific chemical that he doesn't say what the chemical is in the comic, this is an older...
It's got to be bat chemical or so, or chemical B or something like that.
Chemical B. But when he pours a special chemical on it, it reveals text who identifies who Batman's real identity is.
Okay.
And what it's for is if he's captured and he's about to die, right? He can pour this liquid on this disc to basically reveal to whoever finds his body or whoever finds the disc that who Batman really is. And so no one can impersonate Batman and cause more harm.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But the whole thing is he has to have enough time to like pour this special liquid on it. It's not like a fail safe where like, if he does like a better way to do it would be like, hey, every day Batman has to go log into some server. And if he doesn't, it like trips over and then his identity gets broadcasted.
Or it could be connected to his heart rate. And if that stops, then do something.
I think it's like in the comic pane, there's like fire behind him. Like he's in like a burning building that's like about to come down. And he's just standing there hunched over this little disc, pouring his liquid vial on this disc. Oh, and then he goes,
I hope this develops.
Yeah. And then he says, it's also made of asbestos, so it won't burn. Oh, man.
Wow. Okay. I had not heard of that. Is that the old Adam West or not Adam West? The old comic?
I think that was like in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember when that one was, but it's definitely an older Batman comic. But I just laughed at the whole idea of like, he's about to die. And he's like, he's like, hold up, before you kill me, I gotta do this first.
I gotta do a chemical experiment. Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. Last one is lockpicking. And I know lockpicking is, you can just get lockpicks no matter what, but can you get lockpicks that have the Batman logo in the handle?
You're like bent into the handle, right?
Yeah, bent into the handle. So this got me thinking, because Batman's actually really good at picking locks, but they don't really show that in like newer Batman. He just kicks the doors down now.
Right.
But old Batman could really easily get into locks. And so I propose a question for those listening. Is the lockpicking lawyer who runs a YouTube channel about picking locks, is he Batman? Because we don't know what lockpicking lawyer looks like. We just see his hands. And we've never seen lockpicking lawyer Bruce Wayne or Batman in the same room together.
You never know, maybe.
Then my lockpicking lawyer, are you Batman?
I do like the idea that his lockpicks have to have the logo on them.
Oh, yeah.
Just so that he knows, like, I'm Batman.
We have more items. Steven has some items that are in his belt. We need to get to that topic, though, of the logos.
I got four items real quick. Let me blast through that, and then we'll go on to the next topic. These four items, I chuckled a lot about them. I found this on a website, screenrant.com. They had a list of items in his thing. For one of the items on there was just crayons. There is actually a comic book where him and Batman and Robin are on top of a train, and for whatever reason they need to make a sign, and they don't pull out like a Sharpie or like a pen or something like that. In fact, Batman's like, good thing we have crayons, and he like just draws a picture to, I don't know, write a sign for somebody. So yeah, crayons. Apparently, he has lollipops in his utility belt.
Oh, no.
There's a time when he, like, there was a kid who was crying or whatnot, and he needed to console the kid. And so pulls out a lollipop and gives it to the kid. I don't know. Seems a little bit weird to me, but that's in there. Apparently, he also always carries around a kryptonite ring for that, like, situation that there's just a roaming Superman around and he needs to keep him in check.
So, well, no, that kryptonite ring, sometimes it's like a chunk of kryptonite, just depends on the error of Batman, basically.
Yeah, right.
It's interesting, especially when like the Justice League, like cartoon and stuff, where I think he actually gives the kryptonite to Superman as like a sign of trust.
Yes. Yeah, I think that, in fact, there's an episode, I think it's Batman the Animated Series that came out in the early 90s. There's a whole episode where it shows him writing the logs into the Bat computer in the Bat Cave, where he goes through every superhero in the Justice League and he talks about their superpower and how he can defeat their superpower. And he writes like an entire thing about, if they go rogue, here's what I do. And it's a pretty cool episode because there's no, like, it's literally just Batman at his computer writing these logs, but it's fascinating because he has all of these reports on these superheroes. And I think Superman was, yeah, I just have kryptonite. Like, we're fine. Don't worry about it. Okay, and then there was one last item that Screen Rant had, and I love this because they literally categorized this as an item in his utility belt. It's just cash. He just has money. In fact, one of the pictures they have is just like a wad of cash on a table. And it's like, yeah, that's a thing. And
I mean, it makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. One of his superpowers.
I'll put it this way. If you're wearing that spandex doesn't have back pockets for a wallet.
Actually, you could make the argument that the cash is more of the universal tool than the universal tool.
So we were joking about this earlier. Batman and his gadgets and everything Batman has, including like some of the items that he designs and builds, always have the Batman logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you think?
Even the different eras, every Batman always has the Batman logo on their stuff, or the item itself is the shape of the logo. Like, they're just so proud of this logo.
Yeah, it's, do you think he gets stickers made?
I think absolutely. But I think it goes further than that. Stickers are like the lowest level of things. I think he spends an unreal amount of time machining metals, getting things printed, getting stickers for sure. Like, everything has to be like flawless. Actually, what would be really funny is to see the like discard pile all of these like messed up logos on the ground.
But they're all like a messed up batarang.
Yeah.
But it's only messed up because like the lasering is like a millimeter off of like his logo.
Yep. Yeah. If it was my bat cave, knowing the way I have my basement, I would have like parts of it that are really clean and then parts that are just like piles of like discarded. Like, that's it. Sorry.
Do you think that's what Alfred has to do? Categorize that and put it all away.
Oh yeah. That makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder if Alfred is involved. Well, no, absolutely. In fact, we were mentioning it earlier. Alfred does a lot of the communication with vendors and things like that.
So Alfred's a butler, but more importantly, Alfred's actually his procurement team.
Yeah, his procurement team. Absolutely. Because, yeah, I mean, they actually say that because he's like communicating with whatever factory in China that they were getting the bat ears done. Isn't that funny that that was a must? Like, they had to have that.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that it's a scene in a movie. I can totally see that being like a scene in like one of the cartoon shows or like a comic, but it's in one of the big budget movies.
Well, there's a really good reason for it, though. I think the reason they put that there is to make it seem like he wasn't as much of just a toy. And the fact that it makes you take Batman a little bit more serious, that he's putting that much thought into things, that it's not just like some guy dressing up in a costume. They mentioned that a whole bunch of times in the movies where it's like, I'm not a guy who fights crime in a costume, even though he really is. He put a lot of thought into his perception. And in fact, I think that goes to what we're talking about here. His perception is the logo's got to be everywhere because people have to know the symbol. The symbol matters for Gotham.
Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to is, if you find, how many batarangs do you think are just like littered across Gotham?
Yeah, it's got to be a ton, right? And every single one of those is bespoke. We already said, like, he sat there with a grinder and did every single one of them by hand.
Every single one.
Yeah. All the way to the point where the bat signal, I mean, the light that they display up in the sky, which, funny enough, if you think about that, Gotham has to have some of the worst weather out there because it's got to be overcast all the time in order for that light to work, right? It's really funny because my wife and I were driving home from something the other night, and one of the towns around here had two spotlights going. And you could easily tell that the spotlights were going, but there's no way on earth that you could tell like where the beam was ending. I mean, it was a fairly clear night. It was foggy enough that you could see the lights. And I mentioned that about Batman. I was like, the bat signal is really dumb.
It is really dumb.
Because if it's a clear night, it makes no sense whatsoever, right?
Yeah, it could literally just be like a button and then like a siren goes off, or like they just send out a radio.
Or one of the bat trackers could start beeping and blinking, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because if you activate the bat light, it signals that, hey, someone knows that someone's doing something bad and wants Batman to show up now. Which kind of like ruins the surprise element that Batman always has.
Oh, sure.
Like, it seems that the villains like are always shocked that Batman shows, besides the Joker. The Joker wants Batman to show up, so he always expects Batman. But all the other villains are like, oh, we didn't know Batman would show up.
We didn't see the big bat sign in the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a mixture of exactly what I just said with the people need to know that Batman is, gosh, what is the phrase they say? The hero they need, not the hero to deserve. I probably butchered that. But the logo means something to Gotham. Mm-hmm. And it means something to the villains of Gotham. But I also think Batman has an ego that's the size of Gotham. So he's got to have that logo out there. So it's a mixture of the two.
And that actually gives credit to the bat signal too then. Because like, oh, there's someone doing evil, and so we're going to turn on this big old light, and that kind of lets people of Gotham know that Batman's on the prowl.
Which, wouldn't you think they've just, oh, it's 6 p.m., let's turn on the bat signal every night. Yeah,
every night. It's just a deterrent.
Right. Which, okay, so funny enough, somewhat side story, but in a similar vein, I visited a city back in my college age where they had something similar to that, where they put these blue lights at intersections that were fairly crime-ridden intersections. And those blue lights were intended to be deterrents for crime because it was supposed to illuminate the intersection. But what they ended up becoming were crime amplifiers, where people were just like, well, just go to the blue light. Like, that's like, and it was a huge failed experiment by the local police department. But they ended up, you know, letting them be. So it is kind of funny because it's fairly similar to this, because the logo itself, does it actually deter crime? It doesn't seem like it does. It just calls Batman. That's all it was.
Yeah, that could be what it is. Do you think there's like on every corner, like, you know, where in every corner you have like USPS, like delivery box. Do you think Batman on all his batarangs say, if found, please deposit in the bat box?
Bat box, yeah.
Or they can just put it into like a mailbox and it just shows back up at the Batcave.
Wayne Manor.
Yeah. Well, that'd be too obvious.
Oh, sure.
Do you think Batman goes to the post office and has like a P.O. box where he can get all his equipment back?
He just opens it up and it's just filled with batarangs. He's like scooping them into a bag. Yeah,
scoops
right?
it in the big old bag.
But can you imagine what eBay would look like if someone found a batarang, you know, official Batman batarang.
Yeah, official Batman batarang.
Yeah. He doesn't really leave a lot, though. Batarangs, he does.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he doesn't leave items
no.
in places.
Next, this is the next segment, I guess, of this podcast is, all right.
Yeah. Wrap it up.
What would an electrical engineer have? Actually, even better question. Steven, do you have a utility belt?
I do not, but I think it would be awesome to have a utility belt. And in fact, I went around my office today and I pulled all the engineers together. I was like, quick off work question. It's like, if you were to create a Batman style utility belt for a double E, what would it look like? And what's funny is, so I created this list with my double E team, but I hadn't seen a handful of the items that Parker had put on our list that we're reading from right here. Until not that long before the podcast. And it's interesting because some of these items are like my engineering team independently came up with some of these items. So I've got a list here that I think would be fun to go through of what would a double E's Batman utility belt look like. So the whole team universally said, no matter what, even though it's not directly EE, you still need a grappling hook and you still need batarangs. Like, they all were just like, yes, that's gotta have that. And some of the arguments were like, you're sitting at your desk in the lab and you look over and you need like a piece of equipment from across the room. You just shoot the grappling hook and pull it in, right? Like, we don't want to walk across the lab to get that O-scope. And the batarang is there in case somebody, in case you get up from your desk and someone goes to steal that scope that you just got, you could stick their hand to the desk with a batarang. So those were one-to-one. Batman has them, doubly needs to have them. So surprisingly, this is where the first one starts that Batman already has. So everyone said handheld O-scope, gotta have that. Basically a tricorder. But what it really ends up being is the universal tool. I didn't know the universal tool literally has an O-scope built into it. So handheld O-scope for sure, and a multimeter with all the standard functions, plus a function generator. Those are three locations on utility belt. But there is one caveat to that, and this goes a little beyond the utility belt itself. They all plug into the bat cowl, the headpiece, and you just see the scope, or you just see the multimeter, and you can flip between them or do augmented reality. So you're looking at your board and it just displays the scope over your vision.
Oh, that's cool.
That would be really cool, right?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Same thing with heat vision. So you could just look at your board and it just displays over your eyes thermal vision.
Yeah.
So that would be freaking, yes, chef's kiss. One engineer said, I have to have 26 gauge solid core wire. And one said 30 gauge stranded wire. So these are for your bodge jobs that you got to do. I think having both of those, if you had both of those, you're good to go.
I would say you also need to add at least like 18 or 16 gauge.
Something a little thicker.
In case you need to carry some power.
Yeah. Heat shrink. Black has to be black heat shrink, right?
With Batman logos all every 2 inches, Batman logos on it, silk screened into it.
I hope that exists somewhere. There's some heat shrink with a Batman logo on it. That would be. I should have thought about that. That's perfect. Yeah, with the Batman logo. Now here's one of the more fun ones: aerosolized Kapton tape, where you could just spray on whatever tape you need. I think that would be absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Let's see here. Oh, magic smoke bombs. So they're smoke bombs, but they have the same smoke that's in ICs. In case you're in like a really bad meeting and you need to get away, you just pop a handful of those and run out of the meeting room.
It's just the blue smoke that comes out of
ICs. But it's got that like electronic smell to it.
The ozone smell to it.
Yep. Precision hot glue gun. And
a
mobile soldering iron. I really do like the aerosolized Kapton tape.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yep. So both thermally, both can withstand high temperatures and high dielectrics.
Oh, there's one thing you're missing in there.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Is a harness tape.
Yeah.
Not electrical tape, harness tape. Because electrical tape just gets all gooey.
Well, but it would be electrical tape with like the logo every few inches.
Yeah. Or I bet you Batman, Bruce Wayne, could develop an electrical tape that doesn't get gooey.
Could also see him having like zip ties.
Zip ties got to be in there.
Yeah, zip ties, but they have to have something special about them where they're like zip ties.
The head of the zip tie is a bat logo.
Oh, yeah, it's just like two wings that come off this.
Two wings on that little part that ratchets.
Yeah, I like that. But that might be the one thing where like the zip tie is just straight yellow. And like the logo is black.
Yeah.
Yellow zip ties and black. Yeah. I think it would be really cool if you came to work, you're starting a new job, and you show up to your desk and there's just this yellow belt sitting there and you see all the engineers wearing a yellow belt.
Wearing yellow belts?
Yes, I know I'd be in the right place.
I'd be like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
Or what if What if you show up for an interview and you're wearing the utility belt as the interviewee?
You know, I feel like some places would be like, sorry, dude, this ain't the right place for you. But some places would absolutely love that.
Yeah, if an engineer showed up at an interview with a utility belt, I'd be like, when can you start?
Actually, okay. Look, wait, hang on. Slight tangent. Somebody out there, that's really, in my opinion, that's not a bad idea. Now, that would be a very weird interview. But if you showed up and they were like, tell me something about you, and you stood up and you just started pulling out, like, I can solder, and you put a soldering iron on the table. And then you're like, I know how to do this, and you put it on the table. Like, this is your doubly utility. But look, I know it's weird, but you would stand out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, slight tangent story. I met a guy once who told me about an interview he did where he had hats, literal hats, for every job he had worked at. And like he made some of them, obviously, but he went into the interview and he would put on a hat and he would talk about that. And then he would take it off, put on his next hat and talk about it. And now look, that's super lame, and Parker's facepalming hard here. But the guys remembered him. He was very memorable for that. This is similar to that. I dare somebody out there to give this a shot. Put on your doubly utility belt. It's the lamest thing ever, but do it. Give it a shot.
If someone does that,
Parker will give you a job.
You can have a free prototype at MacroFab. You have to have proof, but man, that would be something to see.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun.
All right. So before we sign off, go to our discourse. It's form.macrofab.com. Post your utility belts. Post what you would put in your utility belts. Bonus points for if it has bat in it. And with that, let's sign off.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Circuit Break from Macrofab. We were your hosts, Stephen Craig.
And Parker Dolman.
So long for now.
Later, everyone. Thank you, yes, you, our listener, for downloading our podcast. Tell your friends and coworkers about Circuit Break, the podcast from Macrofab. If you have a cool idea, project, or topic you want us to discuss, let Steven and I and the community know. Our community, where you can find personal projects, discussion about the podcast, and engineering topics and news, is located at form.macrofab.com.